You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, the Titusville and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida on AM 1510. Our dial is WWBC. We're on FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. Always sounds like I'm taking somebody's temperature. 100.7. And, of course, Ellen Little, my co-host and my gal that takes care of everything behind the scenes, is here.
Happy Monday.
Thank you so much for all you do.
Oh, my pleasure.
Always busy, but you get it done.
I try and get
yes,
it done.
You do. Yeah. And we have an action-packed show today. My friend Diana Bogart is here, just like Humphrey Bogart.
That's right.
Diana is here. And Diana brought along two wonderful friends with her. We're going to be talking today about how important it is to have cultural exchanges with people all over the world, not just here in the United States. And they're with a group called Sister City Program. And Kathy is here. Kathy Matarose?
Matarosian.
I'll just say Kathy.
Yes.
And then we have
perfect.
Good old Bob White.
There you go.
Bob White is here. So all three of them are going to be talking on the second segment. How important it is to share our culture and connect with other people around the world, as well as some of the events that they're going to be having here to raise funds so that they can send young children from Cocoa, Florida, to Israel and learn about the Israeli people and bring back good news for us, right? Mm-hmm. And so before that happens, Ellen, I just want to tell you, I had a really action-packed weekend.
Yes, we saw the pictures. If you don't follow Sita on Facebook, you always have the best pictures and the best selfies.
I do. We try.
Yeah, you do.
On Friday night, the Central Brevard NAACP held a banquet. And I sat with my friend Alberta Wilson, and she bought a couple of tables. And I just want to share with our listeners one of the most powerful messages I ever heard in my life. The late Reverend Wells was honored, and his son, Pastor Oliver Wells, spoke, and he talked about the theme of that night, a Friday night, and he says, "Our lives begin to end the day we keep silent about things that matters. We must not keep silent about such things as hate, injustices, and wrongdoing." And it was so beautiful because he used the teaching of Martin Luther King in his speech, and it just moved all of us. And he said something, and I swear, I thought he was talking to me, because he said, "If you have a voice, you should make a choice to use it."
There you
go. And I thought it was
so
beautiful.
That's exactly what you say all the time.
Yeah.
That's why this radio show.
Right. So it was kind of nice that, you know, when you think about us having our show on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and we've been on air for almost 8 years, and we've had so many people that came on the show and talked about doing so many wonderful things in Brevard and all over the world, from every single topic we've covered.
That's right.
And of lately, we've been doing a lot of human interest stories about homelessness and how to help people to find jobs with benefits and bring back the dignity of work and put value on human lives and things like that. And I think it's very important that we use our voices in that way as well.
Yes, absolutely.
You know,
and there's so many organizations here in Brevard that are really making a big difference.
Right. And so how was your weekend?
My weekend, I moved, as you know. I finished up all my moving, and so now I am in the lovely city of Indy Atlantic. And
You're beachside.
I'm beachside now, yeah.
And exactly. I just want to give a shout out to Terry Rizzo, who is the head honcho with the Florida Democratic Party. On Saturday, we had our largest fundraiser for the Florida Democrats, and I was very blessed to be able to sit with my two lovely daughters and have such a good time. And you know, the spouses of the people who are running for office, they're just as important as the candidates themselves. Mm-hmm. And so we had a few of the spouses spoke, and then we had Hakeem Jeffries spoke. He's a congressman in the Senate. And the funniest thing, I went looking for him because I wanted to say hello and tell him how much I appreciate what he does in the Senate for us. And then I see this man with the most gorgeous eyes, and I looked at him and I said, Hakeem. And he goes, hey. Yeah. And my daughter said, I'm going to tell Dad. But anyway, he chatted with me for a while, and he asked me where I was from, and I said, Trinidad, of course. And then he says, oh, my chief of staff is from Trinidad. And so we had a good conversation about, I mentioned him a couple things about what's happening politically. But it's so nice when you have a voice and you use it.
Absolutely.
I told him about Trinidad and Tobago and the Venezuelan crisis there. And he says, oh, I had no idea. So you never know. Yeah. You never know who you can touch where.
Well, not to just mention an average fact conversation. You put some thought in somebody else's head about what changes that they can make and what changes that they want to be a part of. And
yeah.
All of a sudden the ball rolls from there.
Well, it's important that we extend our generosity to people who are fleeing their countries as refugees, or they're fleeing from war and violence and God knows what kind of things they're going through. But it's also important to understand why people flee as well. And we need to try our best while we're alive on this journey called life to stabilize our world and make it a better place, not just for us, but for everybody else.
Right. And for generations to come.
So while we sympathize with the people who are fleeing from Venezuela, we have to make sure that they can go back to a country that they want to rebuild and make what they want to make out of it, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, so that was good. My weekend I'm always busy doing something.
I know. And you've been going to a lot of great events like this lately. I mean, more so than usual, and even outside of Brevard County, so congratulations.
Well, it's not only about attending the events. When you attend an event, not only do you hear wonderful speeches by people who are doing the keynote, but you also interact with other people, right? Like Diana and I met. Where did we meet? At ABWA,
yeah.
Right? And you and I met at ABWA, and we talked about business, and we talked about all the things that was happening at the American Business Women's Association, and that's how we met. So while we're waiting for Shatira to call in, we probably should just go ahead and start a little bit. If you want to send her another message.
I will text her right now.
You never know. Sometimes people get the messages mixed up. So Diana, we're going to be talking later with you about building relationships and the Sister City program. Why don't you just go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself right now while we're waiting for a call-in guest to call in.
Well, hi, I'm Diana Vanden Bogart. I'm a retired teacher in Brevard County. I've been retired for a few years. I'm also a video producer. So I taught TV production at Cocoa Beach Junior Senior High, and also English and whatever else they had me teach. But in 2011, I had a wonderful, wonderful life-changing trip where I went to Israel with the Sister City program, and I didn't know the Sister City program before that. It was only 4 years old at the time, and we had a group of 36 people go to Israel from Brevard County. We stayed in host families in Beit Shemesh, and we traveled around the city. One of the host families we stayed with had a bus company, so we had our own bus. And we just drove around the country going to the wonderful, wonderful places. We were interfaith, completely interfaith, a half-Jewish, half-Christian group. We went to Christian sites. We went to Jewish sites. It was just the most heartwarming experience I have ever had.
Yeah, and you bring a lot to so many people because you've been a school teacher. You're doing your videos, and you're interacting with so many people. So you have a lot to offer when you go on these trips. How many people went on the first trip?
Well, that wasn't the first trip, but that was in 2011. That was a big trip. It was 36. We had another one in 2016 that some of our other people went on. That was about 31, 32. So we usually try to get people to go. The limiting factor is how many host families can we get in Israel. But we have a wonderful network of support in Israel, in Beit Shemesh, Israel, our sister city, and they find the host families for us. And, of course, you make relations with those host families that last you your whole life as well.
Yeah, I told you when I think the last time you came on the show, I was on Facebook once, and I saw this beautiful woman from Israel, and her Facebook profile picture was with one of the largest, this guy's huge in India, the number one Indian movie star. So I immediately sent her a private message, and I said, is that fake? And she said, no, I know him. And I said, how do you know this man? If he sneezes, the stock market in India falls. This is Amitabh Bachchan. He's like the greatest movie star ever. And she said, no, I know him personally. So she said, I said, oh, my God. So then she calls me on Facebook Messenger, and we're having a conversation. She was in the airport in Tel Aviv. I'm in my house in Melbourne, Florida, and we had an extensive conversation about her love for India. She sings. She's a singer, a well-known singer in Israel, but she loves Indian culture. And so apparently when she goes to Bollywood, she met with the greatest movie star. And so we connected. And she's invited me many times to come to Israel and visit, and we stayed friends. Yeah. I'll have to give you
Israel,
her number for
Israel
when you go there.
Israel is one of the most cosmopolitan places you're ever going to find.
Yes.
But also ancient, all wrapped up together in this tiny country.
Yes, and once in a while she'll send me like a little shalom every morning or something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I know we're going to go to our call-in guest. Ms. Shatira Jordan is on the phone. Are you there, Shatira?
I am here.
Oh my gosh, it's so nice. I'm sorry, I didn't know if we mixed up the time with you, so we just went ahead and introduced our second segment guest, my friend Diana Bogart. So I'm glad you're taking...
Oh, no, that's fine.
Yes, so... So I've been reading your bio, and we were talking about all the challenges that you face, and I love your vision to reach one girl and one woman at a time. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Shatira Jordan. I am from the hometown. My hometown is Akron, Ohio. A lot of people like to refer to it as the home of LeBron James. He was born in Akron, Ohio as well. And so just coming up, I was an only child. We did, you know, a well-known Christian family in the small town of Akron, and went to church, you know, about 3-4 times out of the week. My grandparents raised me. My mother, she was a young teen mother, and my father, he was in and out of jail. But, you know, it was the middle class part of Akron. Great upbringing, background, things of that nature. Just had one of those deep family secrets was, you know, my uncle was molesting me as I was coming up as a child.
That's very painful, yeah. And I'm very sorry that that happened to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, people, they hear about this and, you know, the lifestyle and how, you know, I grew up, they think ultimately and instantly that, you know, oh, well, she came up, you know, in the hood, or, you know, her mother was a crackhead, or, you know, father, dope dealer type situation like that. But I like to just bring to people's attention that it's not always that instant. And so we just have to be just mindful that this can happen to anyone, regardless of your race, regardless of, you know, your background, your culture. It happens everywhere.
Right. So you wrote a book called Stripping of Sheets, and in your book, you're telling us how your faith helped you to overcome, and it makes you, the book, it says it makes people laugh and cry, and it also empowers and enlightens so many. Tell us, what did you get the inspiration to write this book?
Well, it definitely, to be honest with you, was not something that I woke up one day and said that I'm going to write a book about.
yes.
Because, you know, because of the, how should I call it, of what I thought that people would think. Because when I went through all this, which led up to teen pregnancy, you know, I was pregnant the first time, 13, with my first child. It led me into prostitution, alcoholic, and same-sex relationships. So this was not something that I just wanted to come out and open about. It wasn't something that I was pronged to coming out about. But especially with me thinking that I was the only one that had went through this. But I did have an encounter with God. And after that encounter, you know, I heard God, and he said that, you know, this is something that you must share. But it was some things that I had to go through before I came out and shared my testimony and my story and writing the book. I did have to go through the process of being delivered and healing and, you know, forgiveness is the main factor. That is my message, is forgiveness, because you can't do anything unless you forgive people that may have done things to you, situations that you may have been in, and even yourself. A lot of times we have to forgive ourselves for things before you can walk in forgiveness and healing.
Right. Well, we often talk about that on the show, Ellen and I know we always talk about the ability to forgive and faith and family and friendship and having a little finances. All these things are so important in life. But do you feel like children do recover from such experiences? I mean, you recovered because you had you found faith. But how do you feel? I mean, do you think other people recovers as well? Or how, take us through that journey, how you recovered.
Well, anybody, yes, can recover. It's not one of those, you know, oh, you recover and you don't recover. We all can recover, but it's just a matter of choice if you recover. So you have to want to recover, and then you have to choose to recover. Wanting to recover and choosing to recover are two separate things. We all want to be millionaires, you know.
Yes.
But are you making the choices? Are you taking the steps to become that millionaire? Regardless if you are a lottery scratcher, you know, you won't win it through the lottery unless you play the lottery. Or if you're a hard worker, you won't get those millions unless you work hard. So wanting to and making the choice to do so are two different things. So, yes, that is an option. Recovering is an option for everyone. It's just a matter of if you choose that option.
Right. Well, you know, I think last week we talked about, you know, sometimes women meet men in a bar or meet them at a party or wherever. People just hook up, right? And next thing you know, this woman is at work and she's saying to her coworkers, well, my children are with my boyfriend. How do you leave your children with a man that you just met and go to work a 3-to-11 shift or 11-to-7 shift? You have to think about who is with these precious children. I've often said, if you value your life and you value the child that you choose to bring into this world, you will value the environment who's around them. So I feel sorry. Right. I feel sad in a way that at 9 years of age, your mother, of course, it opens up a different topic about a woman being paid well enough and men so that they don't have to leave their children all hours of the night and go to work for health insurance and wages and all that. But, I mean, how does one just decide to leave a child 8 or 9 years old with a stranger?
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said, it has a lot to do about valuing yourself. That was what you said. You said, how do you do this, you know, if you value yourself? And a lot of times we don't value ourselves. And so if you don't value yourself, you cannot value others. And so that's why it's so easy to make these decisions. And then a lot of times, because we were done that way, you do others that way as well. And so it still always, at the end of the day, comes down to choices. Let me choose something differently. I decided to, and I stand in pride, and I'm, you know, proud to say that I have 3 daughters, and none of them have experienced the things that I have went through. But that's because I made different choices with their life. It's not about necessarily making choices with my life, because my life is done. Not done, but the past is over with. I can't go back and change what I have been through. But I can change and do things differently through my children. So with that being said, I said, okay, I know that my mother went through this, right? She was molested by the same individual I was molested by. So when it came down to my children, my daughters, I said, I'm not going to put them in the position that my mother put me in for it to happen to them. So when I was able to, when I graduated from high school, I got away from the area. That was the first step.
Yeah. Well, you know, you change your environment. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of times when you talk to people, they say, well, you know, some parents are like helicopter parents. But sometimes I think you do have to be overprotective of your children. What do you think about that?
You do to a certain point. I always tell, especially other parents, that when I speak to them, you know, and they say, well, you know, I have to protect my, and it really be a lot of times it be the daughters, you know, I have to protect my daughter. I don't let her do this. I don't let her do that. And that can be a form of bondage as well, because now the child is fighting. And the only reason why they're fighting, and the only reason you're actually imprisoning your child, because of the things that you went through. When it's simply a matter of just talking to them and letting them know the things that you went through, because we'll imprison them and they don't even know why they're in prison. Well, no, you can't go there. Well, why can't I go there? And you don't want to talk about why they can't go there. You just say you don't want them to go there, and then you keep them in the house. You just say, well, you know, I don't want you to hang around these people. You don't tell them why. It needs to be a why behind the no.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
As soon as you tell a child, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's all about communication.
No.
So tell me exactly. how does a parent possibly handle knowing that their child was sexually assaulted? And I'm sure if a child or a parent is having that conversation, at some point the conversation could just fall apart, especially if someone mm-hmm. that you love is involved in that situation. How did you handle that with your own mom or with your grandmother? Where did you find the courage to sit down and speak with them?
Well, when it happened, it had been going on, you know, for some time before I chose to tell. And it was only because the reason why I didn't tell at first was because the things that he was telling me, you know, you don't want to break the family apart. You don't want to get taken away. That was a main thing. You know, they'll come here and they'll take you away from your family and you won't be with us anymore. So that's a lot of the reason why I didn't say anything. But then I was scared. It my fear of him was more than getting taken away. It happened so much, I was like, well, maybe that would be better, because then I started having thoughts of killing myself. I started having thoughts of killing the people that were supposed to be protecting me. So I said, instead of doing that, well, let me just talk to them. Let me just let them know what's going on, because that has to be a lot better than killing somebody. So I did. I went to my family and I did let them know what was going on. And so the main question of what you asked me was, how do you talk to parents, other parents? How do I talk to other parents about what is the process if they find out that their child?
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and talk from a child's point of view, because, like I said, my children, so I always want to just stick in the area of what I know about. And since my children haven't been through this, I can't talk from a parent's point of view, but I can talk from a child's point of view, and it is to go ahead and tell someone. If they don't listen to you, because I told my family they didn't listen, they didn't do anything about it, tell someone else.
So you have a conference coming up.
So many families sweep that under the rug. They really do, and not just here in Akron, Ohio, but all over the world. These are topics mm-hmm. that are so painful and can tear families apart and friendships, that people do sweep it under the rug. But I think Ellen, my co-host, was asking really quick, because we have a few minutes left on the
segment. Yeah, you have a conference. You're coming to Haines City, right? Mm-hmm. On June 15th?
Yes, that's correct. I have a conference coming up in Haines City, Florida. It's going to be at Parkview Christian Life Center, and that is Saturday the 15th. I'm really, really excited about that.
Yeah, I saw that. I was trying to see if I could attend, but I'm already booked for another event. But I'll try to see if I could attend another event. But before you go, mm-hmm. one of the questions that someone had asked me to ask you when you come on was about the court process. And was the court process, was that terribly traumatic for a child who's been abused? And do you feel like you had to relive everything all over again at that point?
The what process? I'm sorry.
Did you ever have to go to court against your abuser?
Oh, court. And that's what I was saying. My family didn't do anything about it. So this, my uncle was never brought, like they didn't call the police or anything. So that I feel that was a lot worse than a whole court process, because now I feel that no one, you know, protected me. No one took the proper steps. So I don't know anything about a court process because it never happened. They didn't do anything. It was swept under the rug, and it continued to happen. So as I got older, what was molestation turned into rape, because now he was raping me as a teenager.
Oh, my gosh. That's mm-hmm. awful. You know, in today's world, when you hear about the Me Too movement and how far mm-hmm. we've come and how far some of us feel we're going backwards, this is why I think when we have a voice and we have a choice to speak up, we should. But before you go off, let us know your website. So if somebody is interested in purchasing your book and following your journey and how far you've come, you're such a great motivational speaker as well. I've seen your website and all the places you've been, and all the women and children
and featured
men,
in Huffington Post, yeah, and all the men's, Encore Magazine,
all the lives that you've touched. Thank you so much. But give us your website.
The website is ShataraJordan.com or StrippingOfSheets.com. Yeah, very simple. It's my first and last name.com or the name of the book, StrippingOfSheets.com.
So I wanted to ask you, where did you get that idea for that book, the title? Where did you get the idea to get that title? I mean, I was trying to figure out, how did you come up with Stripping of Sheets?
Okay, so real quick, God definitely gave me that title. When I was growing up and everything that I was going through from childhood to adulthood, like I said, I was the only child. I didn't have anyone to talk to because no one was listening to me. But what I did talk to is I went in my bed and I would cry. Women, we always like cry in our bed or we cry in the shower. My go-to place to cry, to scream, to pray was always in my bed. So my sheets knew all my secrets. They knew all my pain. They knew everything that I was going through when no one else knew what I was going through. And when I decided to follow after God and really seek God, he said, I want to take all those sheets. So he stripped the sheets of my past, everything that I had been through, and made them clean. And so that's why I named the book Stripping of Sheets, because God wanted to do a stripping in my life, and it started in my bed, and were the sheets that knew all my secrets.
So if only the sheets could talk, right?
That's right.
Well, now they are talking.
All your secrets.
They're in a book.
But you know, everyone has a story to tell, and I think that's how we change the world, by being brave and bold and lifting our self-esteem as well as so many others. It's not good to just sit there and wallow in self-pity. So what you've done is you've opened the eyes of so many people by writing your book and telling your story so that we can share it. And I'm sure there's somebody out there who's suffering and probably the same type of abuse and molestation that you went through, that you could make a difference in their life. So thank you so much. And we're going to put your event on our website and see if we can get more people to try to attend. I'm not sure if anybody in the studio wants to say anything to you before you go off. Anybody else wants to say anything?
Well, thank you. Well, I want to say thank you so much for sharing your story. And we're going to hear from our sponsors real quick. But thank you so much for calling in. And then we'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends with Sister City Project.
Sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new. Warranties as well, and delivery and haul away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores, and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud 9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MedFast Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and we had a very, was thought-provoking, actually, makes you think about what challenges and people face in lives and how they cope and lift themselves and find faith to help them. And such a person was Shatira Nicole Jordan. And yeah, she's been on a lot of national publications as well.
Yes.
And she's also a motivational speaker, and she's coming here to Florida. We'll put that on our website. And now our second segment is about a completely different topic. It's about building relationships, not just with your parents and having open lines of communication with your sisters and brothers and your communities, but having cultural exchanges with people all over the world. And for such a thing, our friend Diana is here, Kathy and Bob White. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start off with Diana and let her tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends how she got involved with this Sister City program right here in Cocoa, Florida. So tell us.
Hi,
but you did
Sita.
Tell us earlier, but,
yeah,
but for the second segment, we can just do a shorter version.
Okay, so right? I went to Israel on a joint interfaith journey to Israel between 36 of us went to Israel. We stayed with host families in the city of Beit Shemesh, Israel. And Sister City, by that point, was already 4 years old. It had started in 2007 officially. Before that, it was kind of informal relationships between wonderful people in Beit Shemesh and people here in Cocoa, Florida. And I've been a member of Sister City ever since, wanting to continue to promote that feeling of wonderful interfaith love and tolerance and affection between people.
And Sister City is not just locally, it's all over the United States.
Yes, there are hundreds of Sister City, maybe thousands of Sister City's relationships. It was a program started by President Dwight Eisenhower to promote peace and diplomacy and citizen-to-citizen diplomacy, and kind of almost a forerunner of the Peace Corps. And so there are hundreds of Sister Cities in Florida, cities that have a relationship with another country around the world. We're one of them. And our specialty is building relationships one person at a time.
Right. And so, Kathy, mm-hmm. you tell us, how did you get involved with Diana Bogart and Sister City?
Well, I've been with Sister City since its very beginning, officially in 2007. I was there at the signing between the two mayors, Mayor of Israel and then Mayor of Cocoa, Mike Blake. And my background and interest is in art and theater. And so my experience, in addition to being a board member, has always been in my involvement in the I try to do theatrical performances with Sister City. So I'm a playwright, a writer, and I've written and produced for Sister City, L'Chaim, America's Jewish Legacies, and also When Your Children Ask You, a Passover story. And so I try to use art and theater to educate, to teach about culture and so forth. That's what my love is.
Yeah, and it seems as though that's one of the missions of
it is.
This is the City.
It is,
so
and I keep that part of it going. That's that's my
sure
job. That's my job.
And then the gentleman with the easy name, Bob White. Now, Bob, you do so much just with, I mean, you're father of six children. That's commendable in today's world. Because and you're a good dad, I can tell, just by the way you talk about him. So how did you get involved with Sister City?
Well, yeah, having the name Bob White and starting a business in 1983 that I named with an acronym called IMANA, it gave me the combination of the meat and the meal that God gave the Israelites as they were going out of Egypt. Mm-hmm. And so I began studying the details of the connection between the Jewish and the Christian cultures and their religious foundations. And in 2011, I happened to meet Ron and Shelby Shelton, and they were organizing a trip to Beth Shemesh, Israel. So I talked it over with my wife, and we decided to join in on that trip. So that experience kind of kindled a passion for mm-hmm. us, for Israel, for the people, and for the common heritage that we have between the Christian community and the Jewish community.
Yeah, I am. Ron Shelton, I know him. Yes, I know him.
He's a retired pastor here locally.
Yes, yes, he was on our show, Ellen. He came with you last time. Yes. Right, I took care of his mom.
Right.
She was my patient. I remember that. Yeah. Very soft-spoken man.
That's right. So since that trip in 2011, we've gotten more involved. And as we've gotten involved, we both hold positions on the board now. And in 2016, I had the opportunity to take the 32 local citizens on a tour of Israel. And that opened the doors of opportunity for young people to become involved in the relationship between our cities. And so with that and being a business owner, I'm very excited about the business development arena that is available through the Sister City program, and we're anticipating initiating some business relationships that will benefit both Beth Shemesh and Cocoa, and those should be materializing in the new future here.
Right, and like we were saying in the early part of the show, we were saying that in, you know, when you want to share your culture, you have to know your own. You have to know who you are and where you came from before you can share with other people. So bearing that in mind, Diana, what are some of the goals for the Sister City program? Because you know yourself very well and you know who you are. You're well grounded. And so what are some of the goals?
Well, as I've said before, we're all about building relationships. We got started informally, then we became the formal Sister City. And we've had many, many cultural exchanges between students to student, adult to adult. We've had concerts, performances, like Kathy mentioned, educational exchanges between students in both countries. And Bob is bringing up this idea we want to branch into the business-to-business relationship between our cities and bring more connections between Beit Shemesh area and Cocoa and Brevard. You know, make it you know, economic as well as personal.
Yeah. So, Bob, what are some of the accomplishments of Sister City so far? Do you know of any of the accomplishments that they've done?
Yes, we have really spent a lot of time creating a peaceful environment between the two cultures that in the past has had significant difficulties. So by doing that, we have established friends in Israel. They have friends here in the U.S. We have joint communication. We are involved in some student-to-student projects right now mm-hmm. where we will interface students from the Cocoa area to students in the Beth Shemesh area so that they can both understand each other's culture, better understand their own, and how the two can meet.
Right. And Kathy, mm-hmm. So how does one learn about other people's cultures? I mean, how does one learn about other people's cultures, and how do we build relationships from these cultures? I would think mm-hmm. that the Sister City is one of these organizations that is helping
with that. Most definitely. Most definitely. We use the slogan, international opportunity, local access. So what we're offering through our program is opportunities to get out and know bigger parts of the world, and to do it through this local mechanism, which is the Sister City. And what we're most proud of, like I said, is the young people. In 2016, we brought 8 young adults with us, all of whom have developed really good, close relationships with Israel. In fact, 2 of them are living in Israel right now for a year. So I'd say we did pretty well. Yes. And Sister City has helped to sponsor other young people to travel to Israel to get to know people over there. Like I said, and when you stay with the families, boy, there's no better way to get to know someone's culture. We were over there. I loved Shabbat evening throughout the day. The families all got together. We got to experience that with our host family. There is nothing beating that for a cultural experience, getting to know someone. That's a kind of unique thing, wouldn't you say, Bob and Diana, the Sister City program offers to people?
I would say that's exactly right. Yeah. You know, we're excited right now about an event that's going to be coming up the end of this year that we're calling the Space Camp. And
the Sharing Space, Camp space was, together.
That's right.
Sharing Space Together.
Sharing Space Together. So we're bringing 10 students from Israel to associate and relate to 10 students here in the Cocoa area. And we are providing for them a week-long space camp at Kennedy Space Center, where they can relate to each other, they can show their expertise and interest in the technologies, and hopefully, out of that, we might even see a new astronaut come.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Well, you know, in the past, it used to be that people only depended on their grandparents and parents and aunts and uncles and cousins to share cultural experiences. Mm-hmm. So it's wonderful to have Sister City does it, right? Because we are that tool, all of us. We all know that it's culture evolves and it changes. Mm-hmm. And over time, we all learn from each other. And it's so easy to get to know someone. All you have to do is have that gumption to just go up to somebody and say, who are you and where are you from? Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit about yourself. And so you guys make that easy for the young people, because in today's world with social media and people not meeting each other face to face, it's so good to have a place and someone looking out for the young people, such as Sister City, where you could connect people to the outside world.
Yeah, that's one of our main, that is one of our main missions and goals. And I think we've been pretty successful at that. In fact, we've got other young people now who are interested in going to Israel and participating.
Well, that's what Next Generation is about.
That's about our Next Generation project. That's exactly what we call it. And wow.
Okay. See, we did our homework. We do our homework.
Exactly.
Well, and the thing is, you know, when you talk to people from different lands and different cultures, and you speak about discrimination, and people tell you, well, I'm a minority, and this is what happened to me. This is how you also get our world to be more compassionate.
Mm-hmm. And empathetic.
To be more understanding, so that if you can speak with someone, and they can say, well, if I only had a sewing machine, mm-hmm. I do have the material. Well, you come back and you do a fundraiser to buy someone a sewing machine.
Right.
And not only will you change their life, but you change their zip code, like what we were talking about earlier, right? And I see Diana smiling. You've done that because you've done so many events since the last time you came on the show. The last time you came on the show, you talked about the Holocaust and what you've done with that. So share with our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends that what you did with that.
That was a very, very large effort, probably the largest effort we've undertaken, and it was a wonderful success. We had a five-day Holocaust exhibit that was created by students from a school in North Carolina. They brought that exhibit here, set it up for 5 days, and then they took it back with them. But over those 5 days, we had 2,800 adults visit, 1,300 children, or from maybe preschool up to high school. And that was our most important mission, to educate people about the Holocaust, because there's so much, it's forgotten way too easily. So we were thrilled to have that many people attend. And now we've had, as Kathy mentioned, the L'Chaim performance. We've had a lot of cultural performances, arts performances. We're good at that. We got another one coming up.
Because you got a great person in charge.
Yeah. We've got another one coming up just this a week from tomorrow, on Tuesday, 18th of June, at Temple Israel, where this friendship caravan from Israel is going to come with 10 high school students, 16 and 17-year-old Israeli high school students, and they perform a very high-energy program called the Friendship Caravan. It's music and dancing, and they also talk about their lives in Israel. These kids sound so wonderful. 16 and 17-year-old kids who've trained, obviously they speak English, they're performers, And they come and they represent Israel, and they tell you what life is like in Israel and what their life is like in Israel. So we're really looking forward to that event. It's called the Friendship Caravan on Tuesday, next Tuesday, June 18th, at Temple Israel in Vieira. It's going to be only $5 a person, starting at 6:30 at night, 6:30 to about 8. And the great thing about this performance is we co-sponsored it. We had seen it 2 years ago when they were here, and some of our people thought, we've got to bring them back. And we reached out to other organizations. So this is actually a jointly sponsored event between Temple Israel, Temple Beth Shalom, the sister city of Cocoa, Florida, and Bridges for Peace, which is a international organization with local offices here in Melbourne. And Bridges for Peace provides a lot of support for Jews in Israel. And so this is the four organizations coming together to jointly sponsor it, which I think is our first time we've jointly sponsored something like that. And we're thrilled about it. And we're going to have door prizes there. And just, I just can't wait for this wonderful evening of singing and dancing and warmth. Just
sounds like my kind of thing.
That's right.
Yes.
Nope.
Yeah. So, Bob, you know what? Something happens when we dare to care, when we start showing that we care, right? Because when we listen to other people's stories, we get a fuller picture of what their lives, their feelings, all the nuances in their life and the richness of their lives. How do we get more people in today's world to show, to care, and to listen?
I think the biggest thing is what we've been saying. It's cultural understanding. Once we know our own culture, once we know more about a different culture, the cultural breakdown melts away. And you see people as people. We are one people. We live in different places. We talk different languages. We have different kinds of interests. But we're all people.
Why do you think people are so shy to start that conversation?
I think one thing that prohibits us from having that kind of an exchange is the fact that we are too considerate of our own feelings as to whether or not we will be accepted by them, as they are trying to determine whether they will be accepted by us. When you get a program such as Sister City Program that can break down that wall and allow people to be themselves and come together as a group, as a family, then it will enhance that all around the world.
Right. And so Diana, now it's very, you being a retired school teacher, of course, it's so important to read about other people's culture and history. I found that not many people want to read anymore about other people's cultures and histories. And well, I find it fascinating. I love to know where people come from.
Sure.
And I love to know about every nook and cranny in their cities. I mean, I went to London, and I could sit on a bus by myself in London, and I could tour that entire city and not worry about anybody else. But I wonder if there are more people like me, and what is it about me that made me so curious about life and just the world, and why other people are not like me? Why do you think people are not making use of the libraries?
Like she's libraries. Asking you why people aren't like her.
Yeah. Why aren't they reading? I mean, why aren't you reading? I mean, some countries, people don't even have books.
I think some people just have the travel bug. You have it. I had it.
Yeah.
I went to Israel when I was 16 with a Reform Judaism temple youth group. It was it was called the Nifty program, and it was nifty. And we went to Israel for 7 or 8 weeks. And I, for some reason, when you're young, you don't have a feeling of what other countries are like. Why would you? You haven't been there. But just by going, you see, hey, the trees are green everywhere else. The streets are wide everywhere else. The people have, you know, maybe the sodas are different, but people are basically the same. In fact, I remember that summer, I'm going to age myself now, it was 1968, which was right after the Six-Day War. I was 16 years old, and we got to go to a lot of places in Israel that had formerly you couldn't go to, because before the war you couldn't go. After the war you could, like to the Western Wall, for instance, and lots of places in what is now the West Bank. And we during that summer, Coca-Cola came into Israel. So 1 week there was
There's
no
a connection.
Coca-Cola.
Everybody likes Coca-Cola.
The second week, Coca-Cola signs were everywhere. And what's really interesting about that, Coca-Cola in an Israeli sign is written with the Hebrew letters. It's the same red and white letters in the same kind of font, but made into Hebrew. So it was really neat. It was a fantastic experience. And I would recommend, if there's any young person out there listening to me right now, please go travel somewhere. Find some Sister City program where you can get a trip to go someplace. Find a way to travel, because that is the way to learn about other cultures, just like what Sita's talking about.
So how does one sign up to be a volunteer with Sister City, or donate, or maybe try to apply for a scholarship to go on one of the trips?
Well, we have I do the website, sistercityprogram.org. And if you go there, you can do any one of those things that you just said. You can contact us to say there's a place, particularly young people, said, would you like to be part of our next generation program? You can do that. You can donate. You can find out about upcoming events that we're doing. You can participate in any of those events through making donations. We do have a big fundraising event, a mini golf tournament. How fun is that? Mini golf. We're doing fundraising for our sharing space together program with our mini golf event. All of that's right there at sistercityprogram.org. We are looking for more people to participate. If you're a golfer or not a golfer, it doesn't even matter. You can come do that.
Everybody can do mini golf.
Everybody can. That's why I loved it. What a brilliant fundraiser, right?
Mini golf. I'm coming.
Anybody can do that. We're also looking for sponsors for those 10 Israeli and 11 Coco kids that are going to be going to International Space Camp. That cost we're trying to cover is about $700 a kid, and we're looking for companies, for businesses, for people who'd be interested in sponsoring.
Friends of CETA's.
So yes,
that's
right.
We're tuning in.
And
then,
you know, what a great opportunity for those kids to get to know each other, to participate in space camp together. You know, Israel just sent up up their first, what do we call it, a satellite? Was that what it was? Bereshit, meaning in the beginning. Now, it wasn't successful, but they're very interested.
Trying.
They're going to keep trying, just like we do.
Right.
You know, so we have that to share, and our youth have that to share with each other. So that program we're very excited about, and anybody can get to it at sistercityprogram.org. How easy is that, Sister City Program?
And you also have Gifts of Love.
We have Gifts of Love,
our
quilting project. Yes, and those women are busy every week making quilts for locally. We give them out locally to shelters, like women's shelters, and we send them over to Israel to the new immigrants. We send them to our sister city for new immigrants that come there from all over the world. That is a very prolific program. Part of our
Then you also have membership too, right? So it's you can donate, obviously donate your time, you
right.
can donate your services,
right?
But you also have a membership.
Yes,
that,
there's
that
several different levels.
So
of
we're
membership.
Doing a membership drive right here.
Right
that's
now.
Right. The city. That's right. So there's three levels.
Yes, sistercityprogram.org. You can donate at any level, and you get all the information and the ability to participate with us in all of these great events.
Well, the good thing about all of this is we were taught as children that if you ask people too many questions, they might think you're nosy. Mm. But most people like when you ask them about their culture. They like when they feel as though you're showing interest in their culture. And how else do we show interest in other people's culture? By asking questions and showing that you're sincere. Because I know, like Prime Minister Modi, for example, sometimes by just putting your hands together and bowing, a lot of people love that. It's unspoken, but people say, oh, he cares. Or if somebody says, bless your heart, you know, well, you're thinking about a Christian thing or whatever. So, Bob, you tell me, what do you say to those people who say, well, you know, you really shouldn't be so nosy and ask people?
Well, the point is, if I don't ask you a question for you to be able to speak something about yourself, I'll never know who you are. Mm-hmm. And the same with you for me. So we want to be warm to each other. We want to be compassionate with each other. We just need to find some basis and some foundation in order to do that. Sister City Program provides that. And speaking about the membership is an active membership. We like to think outside the box. We're not a captive group that has all the information about what will work and what won't work. And so we ask all those who are coming in as members to come in with some thoughts about different projects, different things that we can do that can increase the ability for the culture to understand the other culture and to become friends.
So whose idea was it in the beginning to start sending the kids to Israel on the exchange? Was that a group effort, or somebody just said one day, you know what, the best way to do this? I mean, we have fundraisers, you do the tournaments, and people have a lot of potlucks, and they share dinners and learn different cultures.
Well, you
and
know
foods,
who it was. It was a mother. who brought her child, and that would be Teresa. When she went before, Teresa Miles, one of the other board members, first went to Israel before we were formally a sister city, and another mother, because mothers rule the world, and they brought their two children, and that's what inspired us. My daughter went with me when she was in fourth grade, and then went again in 2016 when she was 20. So that was a thought. So we had other people, other adults who were interested in going, and they brought their children. And like I said, now two of those children, 20-somethings, are living in Israel.
That is so cool.
It's amazing the broad outreach that comes from that. I, too, had a daughter that went to Israel for a while on one of those trips to cross-cultural exchange. And she came out, and she had the vision to go to another foreign country. She's in Taiwan now, teaching English as a second language. Right. So just another outreach to another people group that spawned from the foundation of the Sister City program.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, you know, we are our zip code, right? A lot of children don't have an opportunity because of their circumstances of birth or the school they attend. To go to a different land and put value in what they see. So that's why it's so important to have groups like Sister City that would offer that to these children, right?
And we do that with the help of those even in our listening audience who would be interested in supporting that type of experience for these young people. Like I said, the next one coming up would be our Sharing Space Together program that we are looking for sponsors for that. And
I like how you say sharing space. That is so beautiful.
Isn't that nice?
That
because
is. I've never seen that.
We do share space, and then we're also sharing space.
So it makes you think.
Exactly. So yes, that is one of the things that we try to do is help these young people raise the money for these opportunities, because we know they don't really have the money for it. So that is what we try to do. And we do all sorts of creative things to make that happen, including this mini golf tournament.
On July 28th.
Just to get your curiosity, your enthusiasm up a little bit, one of the things that we've done recently is we took a three-day cruise, isolated ourselves into a think tank, and started thinking outside the box. It was a great fun trip. We had a great time together, but we accomplished more than we could have accomplished in a month of trying to.
So I guess that goes to what I was reading this morning. It says, to put yourself in situations where you will meet other cultures, especially if you haven't had the experience of being a minority, take a risk. For example, go to one of these parties where you're just different and see how other people's interact. And you might walk away with so many ideas what to do. I think it's all about taking that risk, getting to know someone, because we live in a world now where there's so much hate and division and fear. But like you said, Bob and Kathy and Diana, it's all about extending your hand of friendship, right?
That's right.
Yes.
And how else are we going to do it if we don't have organizations like Sister City and Sharing Spaces? That almost sounds like it should be a movie that you make, Diana. Yeah. Sharing Spaces.
There you go.
I mean, it's beautiful. I know. Ellen, this has been such a great show.
It's
I'm going to share my
show.
Space with you every Monday.
Amen. Amen. And well, we've reciprocated. So thank you so much, everybody, for being here with us on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and sharing your story. We'll make sure we get the Sister City Project, the program, out to everyone. It's on our website. And also to Shatira Jordan, who called in earlier.
And the dates for all their events. The mini golf is what date?
The 28th.
The 28th?
Yeah, July 28th.
And then you have the other one at the temple? The singing and dancing, that's what I'm coming to.
So all of that will be on our website. And thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned next week, same time, same station, 1 o'clock for Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.